Okay, we were holding on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Today's Daf is Daf Dalet. You can try. He may not come on Friday. So the last thing that we were learning was that really the Seder Hayom of David HaMelech, which we began as an answer to the question of how it is that David HaMelech could know when Chatzot was. If Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when Chatzot was, at least we assume he didn't know. The reason we assume he didn't know is because he said, Ki Chatzot HaLaila, which we understood must have been a reflection of his own inability to define the time precisely. So we said that David HaMelech had no problem because he had a marker for Chatzot, which was the Ruach Tzfonit, that would activate his kinor, either B'derach Meis or B'derach HaTeva, and so it was possible for him to be Koveya. And that got us into the entire structure of the day, which began with Kinor Hayat Elui L'Ma'adami Mitato Shel David. I'm sure we might as well begin from over there, so it's one-fifth of the way up. Kinor Hayat Elui L'Ma'adami Mitato Shel David, V'kivan Shigia Chatzot Laila, Baruach Tzonit, V'noshevetu, V'nagei Me'elav, V'yad Haya Omed V'Sik B'Torat She'ala Amud HaShachar, and here's what we got up to yesterday. So after Alot HaShachar became time already to deal as a melech with the issues of the day, Chachmei Yisrael would come into him, Amru lo, Adoneinu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael tzrichim parnasah. What are we going to do about the problem of the... Exactly. There's a very crucial discussion about this, but we'll talk about it in a moment. What are we going to do about the economy? Why can't you basically support each other? Look, a little bit that's available over here for distribution is not enough. Again, we'll talk about this momentarily. Is not enough to satisfy the large appetites of your people. And a bor is not filled with its chulia. Now, Rashi learns. And Tosus understands Rashi here, probably mistakenly, because Rashi elsewhere clearly says otherwise. But Tosus understands Rashi here that this is an expression, meaning that when you dig out a pit, if you throw back the dirt that you dug out from the pit, it will no longer fill up the pit. Because whatever structure there was, crystal structure and so on, or, rocks, or hardening. And he says, that's a very poor metaphor. What would that mean? Why would we be talking about digging a pit? Which we're not talking about simply taking something from everybody and putting back in from everybody. We're talking about taking from, the way he understands it, taking from Ashirim and giving it to Aniyim and trying to smooth it out. But the marshal that he has is that you took out the entire bor. Actually, Rashi says elsewhere that it's talking about a deep bor. And the problem over here is that if you take a little bit out from the bottom of a bor, you can't fill up the whole bore with it. So that would be okay. The bottom of the bore, even according to the way Tosafos is learning this reference to Ashirim, it wouldn't be distributed enough to fill up the whole bore. Tosafos says, look, the bottom line is that the idea here is that if you take from one, then whatever you take from here is going to be chaser elsewhere. In other words, if you take from the Ashirim, then it's going to be chaser to Ashirim. In other words, according to Tosafos, the point over here is there's no such thing as the redistribution of wealth. You can't redistribute wealth by fiat. Okay, so the two issues over here, ena komets masbia ta'ari, if indeed we're talking about, okay, take a little bit of extra taxes, redistribute it in social welfare programs, and that should be enough for the aniyim. So the one point would be, ena komets masbia ta'ari, what do you think? They're going to be satisfied with a little bit of rise in income. You're talking about people that have got the appetites of lions, they want to be as rich as everybody else. It's not going to help to make social programs. That's the first part. And therefore, if we're going to need more money for this type of social security, so then where's it going to come from? Because it's certainly not bar mitbalei mikul yato, so it would be two issues. All right, in general, the assumption that we're talking about necessarily hit parnasu in terms of aniyim and ashirim in tzedakah, which is Tosafos' assumption, many of them show his assumption, may not necessarily be true. Because the question over here is if we're talking about parnasa qua parnasa, rather than parnasa in the sense of take care of someone else's parnasa, which is a way in which we often refer to tzedakah. I'm trying to go slow over here so that our president can get back in and the people who are being Isaac the mitzvah don't lose out on too much of the daf. The idea over here could be a discussion about the economy in general. In other words, ena komets masbia ta'ari, if you've got a limited market, you have a small country, you have a limited market, you don't have a global economy, which they obviously didn't have, then what you're telling us is make do with the limited resources and limited market that we have locally. But that's, where's it going to come from? In other words, the wealth isn't generated internally. We're simply not big enough to generate it internally. And we're going to have to spread out, in which case the answer is war, which has always been the answer to limited economies, in a sense. And therefore, the Gemara continues not in order to get money, but rather to expand. And therefore, when he says to them, okay, if that's the case, l'chu pishtu yedechem, they can do it. All right, so get the army ready, and let's expand. I mean, this is not a solution for every day, I wouldn't assume, right? I mean, how many times can you go to war?
Even though it seems like someone...
Yeah, we'll discuss that in a moment as well. By the way, I forgot to tell you, Tosis' approach over here is Michuliato does not mean from the bottom of the bore, it means from the water that's coming in from the bottom of the bore. In other words, you don't find wells that overflow. It fills up to a certain point, and that's where the water pressure is. So if you take out water, it'll go up to that point. It's not going to go beyond that. So where do you... That fits in very well with the way we're understanding it now. That's a question of the economy. You know, what you can do is you can continue to generate a certain amount of wealth, but it's limited because ein habor mitmalei mechuliyato, the appetites are big. So ein hakometz masbiat ha'ari, on the one hand, and where are you going to generate more wealth from? Because you're certainly not going to get more water by taking out water. All you're doing is you keep basically generating the economy that you've got, but that's all. How are we going to expand? That would fit in well with this too. In any event, as Barnea just pointed out, I mean, it's certainly a very strange morning ritual to say, okay, then let's go to war. Miyad yoatzim b'achitofel, and say, okay, we call together the cabinet, ask the security advisor, nimlachim b'sanhedrin, and then we go to the courts, you know, that's all we need is an impeachment proceeding here. V'sho'alim burim v'tumim, actually what Rashi says, we go to Sanhedrin, that they should be mispallel for our success, and as if we need their reshus to go. And that becomes it's a very strange Rashi. It says, notably me'am Rishus Kadesh Yitpalu Alein. Sounds like it's a political move. It's not that we need Rishus Sanhedrin. Problem is that the din of the expansion of Eretz Yisrael is intimately linked to Sanhedrin in order to give it a din of Kibbutz, which is mashmir that Rashi learns that Gidud is not necessarily the expansion in terms of Kibbutz. The Rambam talks about this whole sugya in Ilchot Melachim U'Mechomotehem, and the question is, for what purposes one goes out for war that should give it a din of Melchemet Rishut or Melchemet Mitzvah, and so on. And then Shalim Burin V'Tumim, Omer of Yosef. Before we get to this Omer of Yosef, let's address Barnea's point. I mean, it's absurd to say that this is the daily ritual. So every morning, after he finishes his learning, they come in and say, okay, where's the money? He says, you know, why not try expanding the economy? No, we can't do it. Okay, let's go to war. I mean, that's what it sounds like over here.
Long-term policy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it certainly can't be a daily event that we should put it into the same sugi as Kinor Hayat Elui Lamalami Mitatosh David. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. We're starting with what appears to be the daily schedule of David. His alarm clock rings at Chatzot. And then he comes down, and then he goes to war. I mean, what is that supposed to mean, Bichlal?
Those were the days.
I see we've got some expansionists here. So tell me, did they refill it for you? There are different approaches to this. Some learn that this was an event. So being as it was an event we included here, it was a little bit silly. You know, the Ritva says, as needed, this would happen. It was where there were problems in the economy and people were suffering and so on. Others learn that because David is very interesting, the Medrash says that one of the reasons David HaMelech couldn't build the Beit HaMikdash is because the money that he had set aside for the building of the Beit HaMikdash was taken from social programs. And because of that, Aniyim suffered, and therefore he wasn't able to build the Beit HaMikdash. And I see this Gemara as an expression of that tviya against David. So that every day he needed to, then every day there was a tviya against him. So what are we doing about the Aniyim? You've got all these grand plans. What are we doing about the Aniyim? Okay, that doesn't explain the l'chu pishtu yedechem v'gidud. My suggestion is that the din of Hilchot Melachim u'milchomotehem is definitive of Melachim. In other words, this idea of l'chu pishtu yedechem v'gidud that we're saying is part of his daily schedule, is part of his daily existential schedule, not his practical schedule. What we're talking about over here is the Sidrei Malchut. What's on the mind of Malchut? So what's on the mind of Malchut is Esek B'Teir until the day. When the day comes, the issues that Malchut has to deal with is the economy, to see to it that Yisrael is strong, and the question of the relationships that we're going to have with the areas around us, and so on. How often it happens, what happened once, what happened 10 times, happened 100 times, is not the issue over here. we are defining what a melech is and what's on his mind. And therefore, the definitions over here are actually defined along the lines of models, paradigms, so that we use the particular individuals in the following pasuk as models for what the Sidrei HaMalkut have to be, even though obviously they did not all of them survived even during the time of David HaMelech's Malkut. Nonetheless, this becomes now descriptive of his day. Omer Yosef Maikra, where do we see this in the pasuk? Because, and again, this pasuk is a certain time in David HaMelech's Malkut, which is brought in Divrei HaYomim, where we're discussing the various organizations of the Malkut. And there it says, Acharei Achitofel ben Ayahu ben Yehoyada ve'Eviatar v'sar tzava la'melech Yoav. Now, again, each one of these people is seen here not as an individual, but is seen as representative of a particular aspect of Sidrei Malkut. Therefore, Achitofel is not a person. He's the Yoetz. And for all time, we see from this pasuk that part of Malkut is to have an advisor that is aware of everything that's going on and whose opinion is trustworthy. So we see that the pasuk refers to Achitofel particularly in terms of his Eitzah, which is why he's now paradigm of Eitzah. Benayahu ben Yehoyada. This is the paradigm. Benayahu ben Yehoyada is a reference to Sanhedrin. Eviatar, who was the Kohen, is a reference to the Urim V'Tumim. V'chein Ho'omer, and we can see, now this is our Rashi, we can see that Benayahu ben Yehoyada is the one who comes before the Kohuna, because it says, V'Benayahu ben Yehoyada, al, meaning above, before, in order of time, ha-kreti v'ala pleiti. In the kreti, the pleiti is a reference to the Kalim of the Urim V'Tumim, and they're called Melamini Krashvam Kreti Upleiti, Kreti Shekortim Divrayem. The Urim V'Tumim were rather strange in that they would give you answers that were absolute. In which case, you had to, almost like the classic mythology stories of where you ask the wrong questions and you get the answer to the question that you asked, you know. So the Kortim Divrayem, there were many times, I don't know, when Klal Yisrael wanted to go up to Pelegish, we gave up. Should we go up? Yes. You know, 100,000 people are killed. Should we go up the next day? Should we go up? Yes. More people are killed. Should we go up? Yes. Will we win? You didn't ask me that. So that's a core team, right? And then you have, there are also Muflaim. So Muflaim, but Ibrahim, that the words come as a pillar. By the way, it's very fascinating that we're asking Achitofel, which is the equivalent of the Eitzah of the Urim V'Tumim. But we're going to be asking the Urim V'Tumim anyway. So what do we need to have? The whole situation here is a little odd. If Bishleim, you'll tell me it's at a different time. You don't have the Urim V'Tumim. But you have a specific comparison of Atzat Achitofel to the Urim V'Tumim. So in other words, apparently you need two completely different levels of Eitzah, even though you know that his Eitzah is going to be the same. One is coming from Mukhrat to Mufla, and the other one is coming from an analysis of the situation. Which is exactly, which has to do Bichlal with the way in which we view in general, first of all, defining things on the human level. And then when you have to deal nationally with something, I know Cummins hiding back there, but I can tell. It's all right. I have eyes in the back of my head. I know when he's dozing off. It's all right. I know that. I'm just threatening. So, according to Rashi, the Kreti V'Pleiti is a reference to the Urim V'Tumim, and it's only telling us that Benayahu ben Yehoyada came before the Urim V'Tumim. As far as how do we know Benayahu ben Yehoyada was the Av Beit Din, that's just a mitzvah asvara, because we know that he was considered to be a chacham throughout the Dorot. The Tosfos doesn't like this pirush at all. Because, first of all, there's something wrong with the pasuk over here. The Rabbeinu Tam understands like this. The Kreti Uplesi is a reference to Sanhedrin. We're looking to bring a raya that Benayahu ben Yehoyada was in fact in charge of Sanhedrin so that we could go back now and analyze the pasuk and say, okay, what is the paradigm listed in the pasuk when it says his name, Bachrei Achitofel Benayahu ben Yehoyada? That's got to be that he's the Av Beit Din. Problem is, there's no such pasuk. Okay? We actually made up this pasuk, and that's a little bit of a problem, you know, we think, no? Because what it really says is Yehoyada ben Benayo, not Benayo ben Yehoyada. And we'll have to assume that he was Mimalei Makom Avotav, and went from Benayo Ben Yoyada to Yoyada Ben Benayo, and the assumption is that they were both in the same business, being the Av Bedin. You know, it's a nice assumption to make. Okay, so the way that Rashi is learning is based on Benayo Ben Yoyada as a given, and there's no such pasuk at all. So why wouldn't we need a raya to who he was? Therefore, Titan is the Rabbi Natan. That's the point. We're trying to bring a raya to who he was. Omer Yitzchak Bar Adam. And then you see, then when do you get to the army? You only get to the army after going through these steps. So you need the grace of a place, either the Sanhedrin or the Urmatumim. You need the Atzad Achitofel. And you certainly are going to need the Aves and the Sanhedrin besides that. That, by the way, is another reason why Tosef says, why would I need a raya for what it is that Avyoser is supposed to be referring to? Because according to Rashi, Al HaKreis Ve'Al HaPlesi is referring to specifically to Avyatar. Obviously, who else could he have been? He was the only one that was left. All the other Kohanim had been killed, and no Vira Kohanim. Avyatar was the only one that survived. So we're going to tell me this is what Avyatar was for, to be the Kohen? I should hope so. But once again, Avyatar, remember, was only Kohen until the war of Avshalom. During the rebellion, the Urim V'Tumim stopped responding to him. He was on the wrong side. And moved on to Tzadok HaKohen. That's where we find that Tzadok HaKohen was the Nifkar for the Kuna after that period. So then the Pasuk clearly is, again, talking about paradigms. Therefore, Tosfos says, if that's the case, I don't need a riot for what Avyatar was. Of course, that's what Avyatar was. Omer Yitzchak Bar Adam, Amr Lomer of Yitzchak Bereda Rav Ya'idi. My Krah, going back now to the assumption that it was a Kinor that was told me Mima'al Bitato Shel David, because it says, Ura Kevodi, Ura Hanevel V'chinor, Ura Shachar. So first of all, it's clear over here, I will wake up the morning, instead of the morning waking me up. And relative to the fact that Ura Shachar, I will wake up the morning, is the Ura Hanevel V'chinor. So in other words, Ura Kevodi, don't treat yourself with honor the way other kings treat themselves to sleep, so Shalosh shows. Ura, through the Nevel V'chinor, or let the Nevel V'chinor start playing, so that I will be awake in order to wake in the dawn. And that's what everybody was basing it on. Rabbi Zera, going back, now you might have lost track because we popped down a few levels over here, popping back up to the basic level of the Gemara, the question was, once again, how could David know if Moshe didn't know? And how do we know Moshe didn't know? Pop down one level. That's because, why did he say Kichatzot? Going back up again, says Rabbi Zera, of course Moshe knew. Why did Moshe say Kichatzot? Moshe l'olam aviyadai knew on his own precisely when Chatzos was. But David nami aviyadai, David also knew. Oh, he did? Then why did he need that kinor? He never heard of an alarm clock. So David Avik, so kinor l'olam aviyadai, you need somebody to wake you up, don't you? And of course, this is only true according to this Shita. Because this is Rebbe Zera that he was sleeping, if he was mitnam nem kesus, if you hold like the other Shitas. He wasn't being mitnam nem kesus. He was learning divrei Torah. It was only afterwards that he was being osik b'shirot v'tushpachot. The Gemara would not have said to wake him up. Maybe it would have said to get him out of the sugya so he could go back to writing poetry or something. Certainly wouldn't have said to wake him up. But given the Moshe Aviyah, wait a second. You're saying Moshe did know when chatzot was? Then lanam lanamim akik chatzot. Why then didn't he just come out and say it? Because Moshe kasav Hashem yitu yitzvak nenei paro v'yomru Moshe badai. Remember one of the main things that Moshe had to take care of at the time was not simply the makot, but rather to prove to the Mitzrim that these makot were not the kind of things that were being achieved through various statistical effects, so that if there would be anything that would vary, like when they went to send and check for the death of the behemoth during Dever. So it says, V'lo metu ad echad. Not a single one of the Bnei Yisrael's had died. Mashmeh, if one had died, that would have been already enough for them to reject what Moshe was doing, because all along they were saying, look, you know, your technology is better, it's a big deal. But there's no fail-safe in technology. So therefore, he couldn't, if they would have discovered that according to their understanding, the Maka of Bechoros was a half a second off, come on. So in other words, it was predictive, that wasn't really, you know, we were saying Barrett. So say better, even though I know when it is, if I can't give them an opening to argue about it. So they would say, Moshe Badaihu. All right, so he predicted the death of 20 million people, but he was a minute off. Because look, in Masechet Derech Eretz it says, you know, teach yourself not to be such a smart aleck. When somebody asks you something, you say, I don't know. What do you always say? You notice people, you know, especially around here, you ask them for directions. They have the slightest idea, but they always know. Teach yourself to figure out that you don't know, and tell people I don't know. Shema titzvadeh, but you may turn out to be wrong after all. And then people will say that you're a liar. Now, of course, the Kabbalistic issues over here are in general, teach your lashon to say any yodeh. In other words, don't teach yourself to say any yodeh. You could take risks on the cutting edge of your own understanding, but don't articulate it as if it's complete. Because generally, when you articulate something, you get to believe in it. Don't believe it in everything that you assume is correct. You can act upon it, but don't articulate it. Ravashi Amar, the palga, the urta, the tleisar, nigea, beisar, havikoi. The answer, says Ravashi, is very simple. You simply mixed up the slang word for, hey, like it's cool, daddy, with the word like, which is as, the other slang. Because there's two likes. So kichatzot in Hebrew could mean the same thing. It could be approximately chatzot, like, that's really cool. Or it could mean kichatzot, it could mean as chatzot now. And that is what it meant. And therefore your whole question was off base. It's not that it meant approximately chatzot, it meant as the current chatzot, when I am speaking to you right now, at this moment, check your watches, at this moment, tomorrow, kichatzot of now, this is when the Malka will take place. V'alkikamar Moshe Yisrael, by the way, not everyone is Goris, this word, Yisrael. If you take a look in the Yalkut, Yisrael doesn't appear, because we don't find that he said this to Yisrael. This was the Nevi'ut that came directly as he was standing in front of Paro, which was a very rare thing. Which then is the question, could he have told Paro a Nevi'ut in the middle of the night? Because the Nevi'ut was only in the day. Which is why we have this other gear, so that he said it over to Yisrael at night, even though the Nevi'ut... Okay.
We don't see that in the Chumash.
Tomorrow, at the same time as I speak to you now, from the Makat of Bechorot. So now, continuing on with David HaMelech's own sense of his tefillah and so on. So over there, David HaMelech says something that you wouldn't expect him to say. He says, Shamran nafshi ki chassidani. So Levi Reb Yitzchak, so first of all, why did he call himself a chassid? What was he referring to? So one man, the Amar, says he was referring precisely to this issue that we just discussed. He was saying, look, Ribono shel Olam, lo chassidani, shekol malchei mizrach u'ma'arav yishenim ad shalosh sha'ot, v'ani chatzot layla akum lo hodot lecha. What he's saying is, specifically, the Gemara just pointed out, how would he have a din of kodmoy nayash morot, even though it's kichatzot, because actually he should have been sleeping ad shalosh sha'ot. So that gave him 8 hours worth of additional learning Torah that he was makdim against his own kavod. That's ura kavodi. Forget about your own honor and royal status to sleep in. So therefore, am I not a chassid going beyond the call of duty? Because as a melech, I have a shus to sleep until shalosh sha'ot. And instead, ani chatzot layla kum ladotacha. The other man, the Omer, says it's referring to something else completely. Kach amar David lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel Olam, lo chassid ani. Forget about sleep. Kol malchei mizrach u'ma'arav, yoshvim agudot b'chvod. What are they doing? Cocktail parties. And they're all dressed to kill. And they're clean. And they're talking, you know, all of these highfalutin one-upmanship nonsense. And what am I busy doing? I'm dressed like a slob. Yadayim aluch lachot b'dam u'bishvir u'bishuyah. Basically, I'm going to have to paskin halachas. They come over with these other people, they come in for grants and for lands and for knighthoods and that, you know, and there's fancy orchestras and all kinds of stuff. Well, what am I doing? I've just finished Nida and the Dav Yomi. So I'm looking over now, I have to paskin. Is this Dam Tor? Is this Dam Tomei? I have to look at a shvir, which is the remnants and a miscarriage of the external skin from a vlad to determine whether there was a mutation, whether it was Betami Leda. Have to take a look at a shilya to see whether it was large enough that there was definitely a vlad. Don't ask. I mean, don't look at the difference between a guy who just finishes learning Nido gets the brachas.
Wasn't there some Hedrin there?
Wasn't there some Hedrin there? Sanhedrin? You go to ask a shaila where you're asking the local rav. That's one of the functions of a king. You go to ask the king for money. For a boon, for a grant. That's what a king is. A king is a man who responds to the needs. And David HaMelech, remember, was the Rosh, basically. He was in the list of the Rambam. He was the one that was in charge of the Kabbalah, ultimately. If you're going to ask somebody, you have to ask him in the end. If you end up with a Shiloh, nobody else can answer. He's the only one that can tell you. That's Av, but he's Nasi. Nasi has a function in Sanhedrin as well, remember. There's an obvious thing, but then there's a Nasi. The Melech is the Nasi in this case. V'lo od. You don't think that that's all of it. Because, I mean, you could say, okay, they have their covet, you have your covet, so you're the big shot Pesach. It's also a covet. There's different ways of getting covet. Some people like their covet as being the best bowler, and you like to be have the covet of being the best paskiner. And maybe that's it. So what are you timing? Alo chasidani. Everybody's got their covet. Huh? Not only that, I don't even have covet. Because kol mash ani osah, go back to Mipi Boshet, from whom I learned the halachas, and I go over the psak, and I say, do tell me, is this a good psak? Mipi Boshet, Rabbi, yofe danti, yofe chiyavti, yofe zachiti, yofe tarti, yofe timeti, and I get it over the head, he makes me feel like an idiot, and half of the time I have to go back, v'lo bashti. And I never took that honor for myself to pretend that I know the answers. Om Rabbi Yeshua Baredo Vidi Mikro, where do we see these elements? Va'adabra be'edotecha neged milachim v'lo evosh. So first of all, be'edotecha is referring to the piske halachas, neged milachim, parallel to what malachim are doing in their cocktail parties. And not only that, I am not embarrassed to go find out whether I was right or wrong. V'lo evosh. So it's a reference to both elements of what we just said. No, otherwise what's the point of paskin? The point is that he has a right. It's interesting, but I mean, from our president's question comes obviously the indication that Mipi Boshet was not his Rav Muvhak. Because if he had been his Rav Muvhak, then the thing is, why would he have paskined? You see, he's going back to ask because he held that he knew better, maybe. But he didn't view him as a Rav Muvhak. The summer medayik that. The reason I bring this up is because this sugya is very nogei lahalacha. Can you call your rabbi by his name? What do you mean, mipi boshet rabbi? So based on this sugya, this is pretty begotten and Rambam, that you can call a rabbi by his name if you say rabbi. It's very fascinating, by the way. Why don't they bring a raya from Yoshua? Adoni Moshe? Obviously, the fact that nobody calls Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Moshe. We call him Moshe. Anyway, but fine. Beginning, I mean, that's the whole sugya of Hillel, Shammai. So in other words, those derech, but there was no Rav that was associated to it. Okay, so first of all, normally say that you can only call by a name, Shelo Befonav. But here's Befonav, Mipi Boshet Rabbi. I mean, he's addressing him. How can he address me, Mipi Boshet Rabbi? The time of that, the din of not calling, even with the shame of Rav, not calling with the name, is only on Rabbo Muvhak. I mean, apparently he wasn't Rabbo Muvhak, otherwise he wouldn't have been Koveya Beit HaMidrash B'Yamav. Which, maybe, but you have to remember that his position as Nasi is Lechora not Mechayev him to get Rishus from his Rebbe. You can tell it that that's two completely different dinim. Okay, but anyway, Yesh HaMaladabir.
That says it's not his name.
Oh. Excellent. Excellent. There are, in fact, Mefarshim, that Taina, that's the whole idea. Mipi Boshet was not his name. Mipi Boshet was a reference to the fact that he's the source of my embarrassment, because he knows so much. So that's not calling him the name. That's calling him Rebbe Guru, or something like that. So you're not calling him by a name. Says the Gemara, Taina, lo Mipi Boshet Shemo, and that's exactly the point, as David has pointed out. Ela Ish Boshet Shemo. Mipi Boshet, from his mouth, in other words, comes embarrassment to me. Because of this behavior, in which David put the truth above his own embarrassment, Zacha David v'yatsami menu kilav. The Omer of Yochanan lo kilav shmo. By the way, it seems clear that the son that he had with Abigail, whose name is Kilav, is not really named Kilav, because in the list of children in the Rehayomim, he's listed as Daniel, ben to Abigail the Carmelite. So why then do we call him Kilav? Daniel Shmo. Lama nikra Shmo Kilav shaya machlim p'nei Mipi Boshet pa'av. Ba'aloch. In other words, we have Mipi Boshet, and then machlim ha'av. One was the Av in Chochma, now becomes himself Boshet, because of the Boshet he caused for his father. There's all a profound interrelationship, not to mention the deeper interrelationship of father and sons that's going on in the whole Mipi Boshet, Ish Boshet, Yonatan Ben Shaul, Barmetzon, and so forth. I mean, this is wild. But it's clearly a father-son cross-interrelationship between the two families, correct? And therefore, continues the Gemara, Ve'alav amash Shlomo b'chokhmato, B'ni im chacham libcha yismach libi gamani. Or he also says, Chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'ashiva chorpai davar. Those who embarrass me, I will return to them what they gave me, but a generation later. Which is, in a nutshell, the story of the passing over of the Malchut. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, sh'hakol nihyeh bidvaro.
Amen.
Says the Gemara, David, mi karayu l'nafshei chassid? What do you mean, first of all? I mean, I understand what he's referring to, but why would he call himself a chassid? We know that David was very, very doubtful about his own madrega. He says, lulei amanti lirot betuv Hashem beretz chayim. V'tanu b'shmei Rav Yossi, lama nakud al lulei? Why do we have the little dots on top of the word lulei amanti? I mean, what is there any doubt? I mean, lulei? Normally, when we put dots above something, it's an indication that we're not committed to it entirely. Right? So, are you saying you're not entirely committed to the belief of Lirot Betuv Hashem Beretz Chayim? Chat is like this. Amar David Ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Muftach Ani B'cha She'ata B'Shalem Sachar Tov L'Tzadikim L'Atid Lavo. Of course I believe in Olam Haba. Abal Eini Yodei Yesh L'Chelek B'Nehem Im Lo. I can't be sure that I'll see it. So I don't want to say Lulei Ha'am Anti. If I didn't know that I would have Olam Haba, maybe I won't have Olam Haba. So how could he call himself a chassid? I mean, if he's calling himself a chassid, he seems to be pretty darn sure about his own madriga. Answers the Gemara, he is sure about his own madriga. Now, he's not sure about tomorrow. Because, Shema Yigrom Hachet, you never know what might happen. In other words, the fact that I've behaved up until this point doesn't tell me what's going to happen to me in the next hour. So I can't say that I'm convinced that I'm going to be an Olam Haba. How does somebody who is alive, how is he convinced about anything about himself? There's nothing to believe in. And therefore, I think he went to get him. And therefore, Shema Yigro Machet, and we see this in Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, the Rabbi Yaakov Aridi Rami. Rabbi Yaakov Aridi points out a strange contradiction in the Pesukim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, Hinei Anochi Imach, Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Tilech. So he guarantees Yaakov Avinu to be Shamur wherever he will go. Uchtiv Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. But Yaakov was terrified when it came to Esau. What's he terrified about? Listen, if God tells you in your ear, don't worry about a thing, I'm on your side, you sit there terrified. It's outrageous. Clearly, although Yaakov had gotten haftacha, he said, no, that was then. Who knows what happened to me since then? Shema yigrom machet. I mean, do I know that I'm still in that? I mean, what's going to happen? First of all, even if I know now, do I know what's going to happen in the course of my meeting with Esau? Maybe I'll say the wrong thing. Maybe I won't have properly be mechabed my brother. Do I know? So therefore, I'm going to count on the fact that God says I'm on your side. How do we know he's on my side tomorrow? Boy, if we had this attitude, life would be different, wouldn't it? Everybody's convinced they know exactly the side God is on. So where do we see this? Kiritanya. Where do we see this as a hanhoga? Ad yavor amcha Hashem. Ad yavor amzu kanita. What does that mean? Ad yavor amcha Hashem zuk biarishona. That was the first time in which we came into Eretz Yisrael with the great miracles and so on. Ad yavor amzu kanita is a reference to biashmiya. And that's at the time that we came in with Ezra. It should have been with the same power and the same absolute kingdom of Eretz Yisrael to be independent of anybody else. So that ru'uyim ayu Yisraeli asot lehem neiz bimei Ezra. Kiderech shenaasa lehem bimei Yoshua binun. That should have been the case. Well, it sure wasn't the case. I mean, well, Biashnia was an absolute wreck. The dependency of Koresh and Achashverosh and Bar Yavesh and then all of the locals who were in Kotev Sitna and 40,000 crummy figures for Aliyah. And it was bad news. And what happened? Elishagaram Achet. What happened is Grimat Achet. And of course, the famous question on this whole issue is that Lechora, the whole basis of the Neviut, as the Rambam explains in the Ilchot Yisodei Torah, is that kol haftacha shehi letovah is impossible for not to happen. As a matter of fact, that's the mifchan. How do you know the difference between a navi sheker and a navi? I mean, you know, people can always make predictions, and the predictions work, and so on. The difference between a navi sheker and a navi emet is that a navi emet can never give an excuse for why something didn't happen. In other words, you go to the miracle worker, to the Rebbe, he'll tell you, oh, don't worry, in 9 months, v'at choveket bein. So when, I mean, they always tell over the stories when she is choveket bein, but they never tell you the stories when she isn't. And what does he say when she isn't? No, we know the way that you behaved. Of course, everybody knows the way they behave, so they accept. Okay, you're right. Right? It's entirely my fault. So if a Rebbe or a Navi would say, okay, such and such miracle is going to happen. No, you can always take your chances with miracles, because if it doesn't happen, you can always say, well, based on your behavior, I mean, you know, the passing comet was supposed to pick you all up and take you off to Neverland, but you didn't behave properly.
You blew it.
There wasn't enough stuff in the Kool-Aid. But the bottom line is, you can always get out of it, right? So one of the dinim of Nevi'ahs is that a Nevi'ahs L'tova cannot be chozer. No matter what the circumstances are, Nevi'ahs L'ra can be chozer, because it's always basically assumed to be a condition. So if so, what's Yaakov? What is it? Yaakov doesn't know the halakha? Is that Kadosh Baruch Hu? Kol haftocha v'Kadosh Baruch Hu L'tova isn't chozer? So there's the solution is obvious on one level, which is that the din of a chazara legabe a navi is only said vis-a-vis someone else. Why would it be said vis-a-vis him? Because if I have to relate to this person as the navi of God, okay, so how do I know he's a navi? Why should I trust him? And so on and so forth. So you should know your relationship to, look, that's what God said, that's it. I mean, if you can always define it, so then forget about what God said. But to the person himself, I don't need any proof that I was communicated to by God. I know what happened to me. So therefore what? Therefore it has to happen, even though I don't keep my end of the bargain. And actually, I assume it's like anything else. If somebody would tell me that he's on my side, so that means if I shoot his child, he's still on my side. I mean, if I take it for granted, that's a given in the Haftacha. So some take this even further. Some learn that the din of Haftacha that won't be chozer is said only on the three times that we're coming to establish the Ne'amanut of the Navi, but wouldn't be said in general about a din of Navi. Okay, that's already far-fetched. The assumption over here is that that's Nogei Adi Avaram Ha'ashem. But the truth is that you don't have any of these din in Legabi Moshe, because we don't believe in Moshe because of Haftachot Nisim or anything else. So therefore, none of this applies in the inyanim that are said by Moshe, certainly not in inyanim that were part of Shira, which were said by everybody.
Do we know what the chet is by Biashnia?
There's a lot of discussion about not keeping the gedorim, because we see when they did come, we see that they were married to non-Jews, and that the rabbonins they weren't keeping, the gabi yitzah, and so on and so forth. So the asu mishmeret, the mishmarti, wasn't kept. As a result of which you had all of these failures. And it was judging from the end of the process, it seems clear what the beginning was, right? Because they needed to go through that a number of times to try to stop that behavior.
And if they were still brought back, that
Haftacha? Yeah, no, it was the Shivim Shana, it was a different Haftacha. The Chachomim Amrim Ad Chatzot. Now, these Chachomim, what exactly do they hold? Do they hold that, remember we had a fundamental machlokus whether B'shoch B'cha means while you're going to sleep, or B'shoch B'cha means while you're sleeping. Now, L'chora, the Chachamim are neither here nor there. In other words, because if they hold like Rebbe Eliezer, who says that B'shoch B'cha means while you're going to sleep, hey, loop me that one.
While you're going to sleep.
Right. Say that again.
While you're going to sleep.
So according to Rebbe Eliezer, while you're going to sleep means when? Whatever, 2 o'clock in the morning. How much later than that do people go to sleep? So then why would they say chatzot? I mean, what they should say is like Rebbe Eliezer, the end of the shlik. Ikar Rebbe Gamliel Svirlu. If they hold it means while you're sleeping. So while you're sleeping, people getting up at chatzot? People aren't getting up at chatzot. We're talking about Dov HaMelech got up at chatzot. So then let him say until the morning. Le'olam. Good point. Excellent point. A lot of discussion about that problem. Anyone who read the mission knows the Rebbe Gamliel said it was a takana drabbanim, haki got him in a ver, and so on and so forth. And, see, this is why I say we should be doing Yerushalmi. In fact, this discussion in Yerushalmi revolves around an understanding in the Chachamim that the Chachamim indeed were saying that the Zman of Shriva is at Chatzot. The Rebbe Gamliel was arguing in the way that we understood originally the Chachamim. Okay, so in other words, we haven't established that yet. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, what were they asking him, or what was he telling them, and so on. Going to sleep. But going to sleep also maybe is atchatzos. Basically, as the Mishnah said, all we're trying to do is make sure that people don't end up missing Zman Kriyat Shema altogether. Kidatanya. Chachamim asu siyag l'divrehem. The Chachamim made a siyag for their words. What is that supposed to mean? Not for their words, it's for the Diraisa. What is this L'divrehim? You say, Chachamim asu siyag. I certainly didn't make a siyag L'divrehim. The phrasing is very strange. And I don't know if you have the... some have the Lashon L'davar. However, you should know that L'halacha, this becomes the basis of those who hold that there's two different levels in the chatzot. The chatzot shows us that we're not to rely on the time of Kriyat Shema, which is until, but rather to make sure that we never get into a situation of Safek, which means that lechatchila, you should be reading Kriyat Shema instantly, as soon as Man Kriyat Shema comes, and be davening immediately at Sefer Kochavim, kidei, and now that makes the rest of the sugi easier to understand. Kidei shelo yei adam ba min hasadeh be'erev ve'omer elech lebeiti ve'ochal kima, eshte kima, ishan kima. In order to avoid a situation in which a person comes home, tired from work, and he says, you know what, before going to shul, let me just take a little break. I'll go home, grab a quick bite, get a cup of coffee, maybe take a 5-minute nap, and then I'll go daven, I'll say, Kriyat Shema, I'll daven, Ma'arevit, Palel. Meanwhile, Chotavtor Sheina. Meanwhile, of course, he falls asleep and he can't get out of bed. Venimtsi Yashen Kol HaLaila. But now that we made this takana, instead, Adan Bamin HaSadeh Ba'arev, before he comes home, Nichnas to Beit HaKnesset. In Ragil Ikrot, he's got a few minutes to do some learning before he came a little bit early. They're waiting to read, to say Ma'arev. Okay, so if he knows how to read the Parsha, he'll go over the Parsha. Ragil Ishmot, Shemei knows how to learn some Mishnah, learn Mishnayas. V'kerei Kriyat Shema umitz palel. And then he'll go and he'll eat. V'ochel pitom, v'arech, that's a mensch.
What has changed? Why will a person do this now?
Oh, so that's the Shaila. That's if we understand the Chachamim v'Sosiyag v'Divrayim, that this is the Halacha, it would imply that it's usher to eat even kim'ah, even a little bit, shelo bikviyut, before saying Kriyat Shema. Now this is actually about Lachos HaPoskim, based on this sugya. There's some who learn from this sugya, look, it says kim'ah, even a little bit, so apparently you can't even have a little bit. It comes from Kriyat Shema, it's, you have to stop whatever else, you can't get involved in eating, even the shelo bikviyut. And you have to say Kriyat Shema and daven like it says over here. Others learn the Pshatas like this. The Rabbanan made their takana was at Chatzos. It wasn't a specific takana. However, once they've limited the amount of time, so a guy figures, you know, what am I, it's not like I have all night for this. You know what, let me get it over with. And therefore, he will end up not going home. You know, look, I just daven Ma'ariv now. Right? And therefore, kidei shelo yavo, it's not that Zakara per se is, don't put yourself in this matzah. We're setting up a psychology in which people, in the end, are going to end up doing it this way. So, asu siyag with Ibrahim wouldn't mean they made a takana to a takana. It's like, really, it's Mankrish Boniat Chatzos Drabonim. And we want you to read it even before that. El asu siyag with Ibrahim, it means that their words take into consideration the siyag that's created out of their words. So that they know, they take into consideration the psychological impact of their words. V'chol ha'ovel divrei chachamim chayav mita. You better listen, or you're dead. This is a porridge getter yishkenu nachash, essentially, is what they're saying. Now, wait a minute. What are they going to be so vicious for? V'imayishna b'chol duchtulok toni chayav mita. I mean, there's obviously no special takana over here in which they have to. I mean, it's a general thing. People disregard the Gidorim, so they end up getting bit. Then, so Maishloch and Tani Chayav Mita. Normally we don't say it, and here we say it. Now this is a very strange question because this is the first time in Shas we've ever had a Takana de Rabbana. So you might as well tell me at the beginning and then just forget about it. Right? Are we even taking into consideration that this would be the vehicle through which we would end up telling you, call over al divrei chachamim chayav mita? Why is this the vehicle? But it's not exactly what it was asked. In any event, Ibrahim's Ema could be, the reason is, because this is dangerous. I mean, this is really dangerous stuff. I mean, you can't get more dangerous than this. You're going to play with sleep? You're going to go to sleep for 5 minutes? Whoever went to sleep for 5 minutes and ended up waking up? Therefore, they have to really scare the H out of you because you're not going to sleep for the night, right? So they have to say, don't you dare. So that's one reason. Or, Ibait Ema, what happens over here is that people are more ahead for themselves. You know what? Shita, oh, the Tefillas Arvis is not Chayva, it's only a Minhag. Okay, but already, you know, so once I don't have to go daven on the Minyan, you know, wait a little bit. So once already you've got some opening, we know you're going to take it, don't you dare. So it's not Fuki, we're not the Amit Tefillat Arvit Rishut, Gamash Valan, Dechovam. Omar Mar, you said correctly at Shmo Mitzpalel, you didn't say to David and then say, all of the halakhas we will be going over Bezrat Hashem at the end of the we're in the middle, you know that this is our policy. Let's hear all the different sheetas and then we'll go over it. Korei Kriyat Shema Umit Palel Misayel Eilu Rabbi Yochanan. This shows, since he says you first say Kriyat Shema and then you daven, not everybody holds to that. That's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ezeo Ben Ha'olam Haba Zeha Someich Geula L'Tefila Shel Arvit. So if you say Gaal Yisrael and then you continue on with the tefillah, now that's Ben Olam Haba. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, well, it wouldn't be a good idea because you're supposed to daven before you say Kriyat Shema. Tefillot be'emtza tiknum. Actually, you have Kriyat Shema, Tefillat Shacharit, Tefillat Arvit, Kriyat Shema. Not Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, Kriyat Shema, Tefillah. The way that we just said it over here, Litpalel, after Yikra Kriyat Shema, Litpalel, is mashma like Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, we say Hashkivenu, which is not Geula, so you're not being masked with Geula L'Tfila. We'll see that there's concepts of extended brachas later on in the Gemara, but as Tosis points out, how about the stuff that they say in Chutz L'Aretz, this whole Yirulei Neinu jazz, that's long, you know, wouldn't that be a hafsaka? So we'll take that into consideration as well when we explore Geula Arichta and so on shortly. So now, what's the machlokas? But my kamiflik, what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan argue about? Well, it could be it's a pasuk, could be it's a svara. Ibay dema svara. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, I mean, the bottom line is, if you take a look at Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that's the model of Geula. There were certainly elements of Geula at night. But the fact that you didn't go out of Mitzrayim physically until the morning doesn't mean that you don't have the Geula. Geula Maliyata, the completion of the Geula, the finest moments of Geula, that was only at Safra. But certainly it makes sense to be masked Geula as an introduction to Tefillah, because nighttime is a time of Geula as well. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Savar, even though Avi Elamit Safra, Lo Avi Geula. There are many who don't have this girsa, Geula Mal Yat at the end, some have in the beginning, it wasn't the complete Geula, but Safra, therefore we don't call it a Geula. But in any event, what it means is that if you're still in the middle of the process of Geula, you don't call that a Gaal Yisrael and then go on to Tefillah. In other words, the tefillah has to be made separately from the gula, and now we're in the process of gula. V'ibayt emakra, in which case both of them were darshaning the same pasuk, and that is the pasuk of B'shoch B'chov Kumecha. Now B'shoch B'chov Kumecha has nothing to do with tefillah l'chora, and again, here we're starting on the slippery slope, which we've already started on at the top of the daf, Kadesh Yavo Adam Be'erav Yikra Kriyat Shema Mipa. Who ever talked about Vid Palil? I mean, all of that was something of a problem. I mentioned it to you that I want to talk about it later when I was talking about the way the Tosfos explains why it is that we read Kriyat Shema early. One of the Terutz, the Rabbeinu Tam, understands it, not like the Ri, I told you over the Ri, but the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation is that actually, we'll see later on, there's a machloket whether Zman Arvit begins at the Plag HaMincha. So according to that shita, since Arvit begins at that time, so does Zman Kriyat Shema. What does one have to do with the other? Sorry? Right, it seems to be a phenomenon that's not associated necessarily with Arvit, which is Din Laila, Kenegad, Halas Ivorim, and so on and so forth. Here, once again, we see that we're going to use the pasuk of B'shoch of Kumecha, even though it's only a comparison, which may be a comparison now that extends into things that are not directly related. But that's difficult to believe. So B'shoch of Kumecha. So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, it's Makish Shchiva L'Kima, okay? It's telling you, treat the time of Shchiva the way you treat the time of Kima. Now all of you are agreed that in Kima you have first Kriyat Shema and then Tefillah. So Shchiva should be the same thing, first Kriyat Shema, and only then Tefillah. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, oh, you're 100% right about the fact that it's Makish Shchiva L'Kima. But just like the relationship is to Shchiva and Kima, not to Kriyat Shema and Tefillah, my friend. Okay, so what's the relationship of Kriyat Shema to Kima? You get up and you say Kriyat Shema. Good. What's the relationship of Kriyat Shema to Shchiva? You say Kriyat Shema and you go to bed. It's dead to Kriyat Shema, not Tefillah to Kriyat Shema. So if anything, you just prove the opposite. always have Kriyat Shema by bed. So therefore your tefillah should be after it in the morning, for some people who don't go to bed, and before it in the evening, you'll go to bed after Kriyat Shema. So that could be the machlokas, and maybe then it's just dependent on how to understand the pasuk. Moshev mar breda ravina. Wait a second. Doesn't the Mishnah later on say to Feirush that you don't say Ga'al Yisrael and then do the tefillah? You say two brachas. We say Hashkivenu. I understand. So who could possibly be Masmir Ge'ula L'tefillah if Ge'ula is interrupted with Hashkivenu between the tefillah? So then, if according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to be Masmir Ge'ula L'tefillah, I'll look at some Ge'ula L'tefillah. So Abor L'meimah Hashkivenu, Amri. Even the takina rabbanon hashkivenu ki geula arich tadamya. The takona of hashkivenu has to be seen as a continuation of ongoing geula. It's not an interruption of geula. And every takona of rabbanon here cannot be seen as a takona that's meant to violate the flow, but rather to extend the flow. So if we talk about Gal Yisrael, then the hashkivenu is seen as a personal expression of the Shmir of Yisrael of Geula. If you don't recognize that that's the point, and that the Rabbanan come as extensions to the central theme, and not to violate the theme, I can ask the same question. How can you be Masmir Geula Tefillah in the morning? Don't you have to say Hashem Svatai Tiftach? Hashem Svatai Tiftach isn't part of the 18 Brachot, nor is it part of the Geula. So you're interrupting between Gal Yisrael and Baruch Atah Hashem. So how can you be Masmir Geula Tefillah? And it's Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who was mocked on Shmir Geula Tefillah Ba'arvit, who is the one who says that you have to say Hashem Svatai Tiftach. So how do you understand that? Omri Avaham Rabbi Yochanan B'tchila Amar Hashem Svatai Tiftach Ula B'sof Onor Yilu Ratzon Imriti Ela Hatam Kivin Etekin Rabbanu L'meim Hashem Svatai Tiftach. What are you going to tell me? You're going to say the understanding of the nature of the Takona of Hashem Svatai Tiftach places it in the same Hagdara as extended Tefillah. Being as this becomes now an introduction to your tefillah, it's not an interruption, it's just an extension. You're now beginning your tefillah with the hope that you'll be able to do so. So, it's the same thing as the geula arich tadanya. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Avina, kol ha'omer tehillah le'David b'chol yom, shalosh pe'amim, muftak lo shuven ha'olam haba. If you say tehillah le'David, which is what we call Ashrei, sure, you're all aware of the fact that there's no Tehillah in Tehillim that begins Asher Yoshrei Veitecha. We have created Asher Yoshrei Veitecha on the Tehillah that begins Tehillah LeDavid Ha'al Mimcha. Furthermore, we even gave it an ending. Everybody thinks that that Hallelujah is the ending of Asher. It's not. We put that in. So what we're really doing is we created this new Tehillah. So anybody who says this three times, doesn't say who says Asher, it says Tehillah LeDavid three times, is for sure a Ben Olam Haba. Now, the gears of three times is almost undoubtedly wrong in terms of the, because there was never a takrana of three times. The first time we see the nature of three times is in the Teshuvas HaGa'inim, who say that it's kedai to be Koveya Ashrei in all of these places, that way at least once you'll say it. But you don't need to say it three times. The three times is to make sure that you're not mifas face saying Ashrei. Once on, you don't fail. No. You don't mess up. Okay. I heard that the problem of the is that there are those who learn Kol Emer Shlosha Yomi B'chol Yom means and never missed one in all your life. Then he's guaranteed to be Ben Olam Haba. Not just, all right, you know, I usually get it in. That's not enough. So I don't know if you're still going to go. Okay. But anyway, what is so important? My time. I mean, what's so great about Ashrei?
The question: if the person misses Mincha, so the Shemone Esrei makes up, should he say an Ashrei because of this?
Say an Ashrei stam. We say Ashrei anyway. Today, Lama Itzur Mitoch in the
Yom. Marvi has. Marvi is going to have Shema. Should he say an Ashrei at night?
Marvi is afterwards.
As a Tashlum.
Anyway, you should say Ashrei because it's not supposed to stop the Eimet Vatfil in the middle of what you're doing. There's always supposed to be a little bit of a. That's the Ashrei Yoshrei Leitecha itself to Ashrei. Is an introduction to Hallelujah. That's the actual tefillah of David. So you see, if that line is there in order to say tefillah of David, so Kodesh the thing as a whole is supposed to be said before. It's rather we were koveya to have some type of shira before tefillah. So if you're going to tell me that the thing that's great about Ashrei is that it's olive based, So it covers all the bases, you know? So you get every letter in there. I mean, if that's so great, you know, you ought to go to Kufiyot Tes, what do you got to wait for the funeral for? I mean, you could say it, you could say Olive Beis 8 times every day and go through Ashrei to be made there. That'd be great. So, I mean, that can't be just the Olive Beis. Is it because it says, Poteach et Yadecha? Then you could say Halel Agadol. You say Notin Lechem Lechol Basar Kirim Am Chasva. If the idea is the general concept of Parnasa, so then why not say Halel Agadol? Elam Yishum Nitzvei Chaydei. The only one that has both. So it's got Parnasa. You'll notice the stress on Parnasa here throughout. Of course, it relates to Zroim, the idea of Emunah. I can't believe it. I told you not to read it. Go away. So. Therefore, yeah, actually, there are other cases when you have an olive base with teref natan lireyav, for instance. But the Gra says, because there it only says lireyav, over here it says lechol basar. Mm-hmm. So there, lireyav, new mela, that's not going to get me anywhere, you know. But you want to hear that I got to work with the finance of the world, that's something else. Omer Yochanan, b'nei ma lo ne'amar nun ba'ashrei. I mean, if it's so important to get cover all your bases with the olive base, how come David HaMelech forgot his nun? Because Yeshba Mapalatan shall Sonei Yisrael. We're not interested in having this euphemism we call Yisrael Sonei Yisrael, so we shouldn't even be suggesting such a thing. But the letter nun reminds you of the word Nifila. And since it says in the Pasuk, Nafla lo tosif kum betulat Yisrael, it's a horrible thing to say. You have fallen and shall never arise again, betulat Yisrael. So therefore, he didn't even want to suggest such a thing, he left out nun. Actually, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't like that pasuk too much. Nafla lo tosif kum, that's horrible. So what they did is they changed the stress. Nafla, did she fall? Lo tosif, never again. Kum betulat Yisrael, get up already. So that's a nice way of reading the pasuk, you know? And nafla lo tosif limpol. Kum betulat Yisrael. Amr Nagra Yitzhak, listen, you'll notice that this was on David's mind. Because what's the next thing that he says after the missing nun? Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Just in case you're wondering why there's no nun. And he even started thinking about not thinking about the nun, which made you think about it. So I want to make sure that you know. Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. HaKadosh Baruch will lift up all those who fall. So Chazar David v'samchan beruach HaKadosh. And Emma, Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Okay, there are always like a few lines off. We're going to have to catch up on one of these. Shorter daffing, maybe in Shabbos. All right. So, what time? What time shall we meet? 8 o'clock. Good.
8 o'clock
is early.
8 o'clock
is early.
No.
8 is good. Right, we're pushing a little bit. It's all about the Rabbeinu time anyway.
Have a good day.